Oh, good evening. Very nice to see you, Don.
Oh, thank you.
Miss you.
I miss all of you.
I can feel it. It has. It has. Though you've been slipping in and out. You haven't been invisible. So I've heard from two people. We've heard from two people that I want to share with you before we finish up with the precepts. We got a letter from Jorge. He says, "Hope all is going well with you and life keeps getting..." No, this is Francois. "Hope all is going well with you and that life keeps getting easier in San Jose, although life is never really easy, is it? Hope the Sangha is doing well also. Again, thank Wendy for the books she sent me, but I still regret not putting to right face to the gifts. Happy holidays to all." And then he says, "I've been rather busy this year, between work, Dharma rain, and just exploring Oregon. I've finally moved out of Salem and into Portland proper. I gave a presentation on Dogen for the fall Dogen class," which he sent. It's not your ordinary little essay about Dogen. It was really quite amazing. "On Saturday at 8 p.m., I take the precepts again and move from wearing the vagesa," which is, I'm not sure, I think just that little strip, "to the rakasu. I've been told I will be given the Dharma name Shokei. Shokei, I've been told, means badge of honor, reverent poem." And then on Facebook, there were pictures of the ordination. There are about seven or eight people who are all ordained at the same time. And then Jorge wrote, let's see, I made two copies of that. "I dreamed we were walking to Floating Zendo in the evening and exchanging small talk about Julian, the meeting caretaker. And since I just got access to a computer, I figured it was time for a medical report. The operation went on without a hitch on December 2nd, and I've been in rehab at the Jewish home in San Francisco since the 6th. I'm being discharged on the 19th for a couple of weeks in home physical and operational therapy, followed by a few more weeks of the same as an outpatient. I lucked out with a private room with TCM, and I've been watching old movies. Also, the kosher food they feed us is surprisingly good and a nice change from the usual fare at Cambrium Center. David and I are enjoying 3 weeks vacation from each other, though he now says he misses me. And Daniel will be taking me home on Thursday. I am amazed that having both legs approximately the same size facilitates my walking quite a bit. As a matter of fact, I am walking more now than I did before surgery." So there's a bit more, but mostly he's saying, "I am looking forward to join you guys in January, hopefully, and maybe even do a proper kinhin after all these years." And then he signs it, "O time, neither cruel nor kind, take care of yourself. Love, Jorge."
What did he have done? Did he have a knee?
A hip. Yeah.
I think it's the second time.
It is the second time.
Yeah. It was
a birth defect in the first place, so it wasn't just your ordinary hip thing, but apparently it just went great. Yay. So I thought it would be well for us to finish tonight. What we have are the repentance and refuge, and then the three pure precepts. So those are the things that are said before the precepts are taken, the prohibitory precepts, as part of the ceremony. Can't really face the precepts until we face ourselves. And in facing ourselves, we have to acknowledge that we are part of the human race, and it's not always a pretty picture. And to accept that before we can step back and be our best self. It seems contradictory. You'd think, oh, I'm going to promise to be perfect, perfect, perfect. But it's not that. It's all my ancient wrong actions arising from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion based on mind, speech, and body. Altogether, I now fully avow. So it's an avowal. And it's not just this one time. It's seeing as Buddha did when he was under the tree. One of the things he saw was how far back he went in time, in space. That his body came from a body, and that body came from a body all the way back to the bacteria in the ocean and to the rocks that came from outer space that placed the bacteria there, they now think. That we're all a part of that. And if we think about it, we can think ourselves all the way back. So that's what this is. This is seeing where we came from and how awesome it is. And in some ways, how troubling, because we have this wonderful mind. We have all kinds of ideas about how we should be. And this is eliminating the should be part. This is taking away the should be and just looking at the way it is. And with that clarity, that sort of cleansing, then we can take refuge in Buddha and Dharma and Sangha. So last week we talked about the last prohibitory precept, which is not to abuse the three treasures. And in the ceremony, already we have taken refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha long before we vow not to abuse the three treasures. So that runs through the whole process, through the whole ceremony. And we don't just say, I take refuge in Buddha. In Koban's way, we say, I return, in fact, we don't say I, we just say, return to Buddha, return to Dharma, return to Sangha. It's as if we had gone away and now we've come back home. And as if we've never left. There's a kind of forgetting that goes on in our life, a kind of clouding over as we get so busy and so concerned with so many things. And in returning in the refuges, we just come back home. And after that, we take a vow, which has three pieces. And in our way, in Kobin's way, instead of saying, how is it said? I'll be good, I won't be bad, I'll take care of everybody, or something like that. Kobin's way is embracing and sustaining right conduct. Embracing and sustaining every good. Embracing and sustaining all beings. So you see, in a way, it's very, very, very simple. Very plain. And yet, it allows our heart to open. It allows us to be what we really want to be. To accept the other side of us, the embracing side, the being home side, the grateful side. And then take on no killing, no stealing, no lying, in all of the ways that we've addressed those sort of negative things that have in them the positive side of embracing life, speaking truth, etc. The positive side, that the things that we can do, the things that we try to do, and notice when we don't do. So, in the most profound way, this whole thing just comes back to each one of us, to our onlyness. To just as we are, question of abusing the three treasures that points to something that I think it's so such a big subject in our culture that we are encouraged to abuse ourself, doubt ourself, create a kind of wobble in our home feeling, that confidence is something that's a little counter to the culture, that the culture would rather we all be a little bit off, so then we can be sold some kind of bill of goods to make us feel better. And so there's this sort of funny push-pull thing that happens if we're not paying attention. And that's why it's so important to come back over and over again to the trust and confidence in ourself as Buddha and truth and the whole society that we are a part of, our tribe, which is all beings. Copeland said, showing your whole face to true nature forgives, not the repenting mind. So this isn't repentance. Oh, I did these bad things. Bad, bad me. Oh, this is terrible. It's a forgiving mind. Really seeing true nature. And true nature always forgets. Sees it as it is. We make many mistakes. But always in a background support of good. We begin as good and we end that way. Coben says, if I am not a sentient being, I cannot take this vow. So we come to the altar as a sentient being with all the mud on us and the warts and the mistakes, just as we are. So if you're sowing, with a little phrase, namu kie butsu. And namu is to throw yourself into Buddha. Namu kie butsu. Unreservedly throwing yourself into Buddha. So kie means refuge, and ki means coming home. So it means starting and coming home to Buddha. Or as Blanche always said, plunging into the ocean of Buddha. Plunging into the ocean of Buddha. So there are three little motions. You put the needle in, you move it over and bring it up, and then pull the thread, and then you put the needle in. Put it up and pull the thread. Namu kie butsu. Namu kie butsu. And if you're making an okesa, it goes on forever. Just forever. And as I've said before, after I finished the first one and drove home over the Golden Gate Bridge, it had all these little dots in the middle of the road. And I saw, oh, namu kie butsu, there are little stitches all along the way. Thought that was wonderful. Coben said, purity is the original face of things. So that's what coming home is. It's not getting somewhere or going somewhere or accomplishing something. It's just returning home to the original face. He said, homage to Buddha means to be as he. To be as Buddha is true homage. Doesn't mean bowing down to a great god or something. That's not what Buddha is. It means to be Buddha. Homage to Dharma, he says, Dharma is not like knowledge. Dharma is the closest thing to us. It's the truth. And for homage to Sangha, Coben said, we is another word for I. So for all our onlyness, our I is all of us. So there's a little story that I always tell with this about a fellow named Jui Yen, who called to himself when he woke up in the morning, and he called himself Master, and then he answered himself, yes, and he said, be alert, and he said, yes, I will, and he said, don't be deceived by others, and then he said, no, I won't. Be alert. That's the Buddha. Buddha means awake. Don't be deceived by others. Stick to the truth. And when he calls Master, he answers himself. Yes. Yes. So I hope this study has been useful. It always inspires me in a way that makes me very grateful. And I think there's time to talk a bit. Let's talk a little bit about this first, and then talk about what we'll do next. So are there questions or comments about this last bit? Wendy?
I recently read a book titled Mistakes Were Made But Not By Me, and it went into all the ways that we eliminate cognitive dissonance, you know, what we think the truth and what the truth really is, and all the things we do to justify our actions in our mind. And I was wondering which precept would address seeing that, seeing clearly what your actions were.
Well, that's the point of the precepts entirely. So it's seeing the killing when we do the killing, seeing the lying when we do the lying. That's exactly what they're for. It's not to polish us up, it's to help us wake up and see what's happening. Which sounds like exactly what that is. It's about allowing oneself to notice when we make a so-called mistake.
Well, one of the points was that our brains are wired to think of in good of ourselves.
Yes.
And overlook the bad.
Yes.
And then our selective memories.
I think
so easy.
Oh, it's not easy, but I think once you get into it, it's like the Tibetan lamas, the great Tibetan teachers. If you meet them and are with them for any length of time, they are laughing all the time. They are so full of joy because they are so honest about themselves. They see how ridiculous things are and allow the ridiculousness and absurdity of life, as well as not trying to polish themselves up and be important. I think that's the point. You know, if we're attached to the self, then we're always trying to fix up this picture of the self. But if you give that up, if you're not worried about that self, which is a made-up thing, and just allow whatever is happening to happen.
Without all the people you interact with.
It's fine. It's fun.
I mean, if you hurt someone's feelings or you let someone down.
Well, you're bound to.
I see.
And then you can either pretend that you didn't do it, or you didn't. It really isn't your fault, or they had some. You know, there, the stories you can make up. But the truth is that this thing happened. It's too bad. I'm sorry. Chogyam says in the mindfulness practice, you roll all blame into one and take the blame. Then there's no problem. It's just easy. The only reason we don't take the blame is because we don't want to look bad.
Well, we don't want to hurt people. Sometimes they remind you of what you did wrong.
That's good. That's great. There are teachers. If we let people be our teachers, then we can learn from it. And if somebody reminds us that we've blown it in some way, then thank you very much. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, or maybe I did mean to. Maybe I'm a real jerk, you know, in having done something. And I'll learn from that. And that's part of relationship. It makes it much more interesting and much less nervous. If we're always trying to fix things so we look okay, it's kind of nervous. What is the name of that?
It sounds like that feeling guilty is wasted energy.
It certainly is. It really doesn't apply. It's just a made-up thing. What's the name of the book?
Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me.
I'm going to look that up. That sounds really interesting. Thank you for that. I think we'll talk about next time.